answer.
To what?
Your question. Love is a dagger. It's a weapon to be wielded far away or up close. You can see yourself in it. It's beautiful. Until it makes you bleed. But ultimately, when you reach for it,
it isn't real. Love is an imaginary dagger.
It doesn't make sense, does it?
No. Terrible metaphor.
Damn! I thought I had something there.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the MCU Diaries. It's a podcast dedicated to every Marvel Studios series on Disney+. So sit back, relax, and let's break down Earth's mightiest heroes. Everybody, welcome back to the MCU Diaries. I am your host, Blake Larson, and today we are talking about episode 103 of Loki, the series, entitled Lamentous. You know, as much as I loved the last episode, this episode, well, I think it just takes a little bit of a step back from the incredible story that's been told so far, which is, it's unfortunate because this is the halfway point of the series, and it's an odd halfway point. It's a very odd one. I don't know how, like, this was decided, okay, this is going to be the major step forward. I mean, we get a chance to learn more about Loki, the character. We get a little bit more about who we now can call Sylvie. But it's just an interesting direction, and I look forward to seeing what happens next. And we're going to get into this episode, Lamentous, and we're going to talk about it. But before we do, I want to remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast if you have not already done so. You can subscribe to it to any podcatcher of your choice, whatever, wherever you like to get your podcasts. I promise you it is there. And go to maryandblake.com to check out not only this podcast, but the written versions of all of these episodes for the MCU Diaries, as well as all the podcasts that we do in addition to the MCU Diaries, which is like Outlander Cast or The Potterverse or The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. If you go to maryandblake.com, all of those podcasts are there. But for now, let's get into this episode and let's talk about why it's a little bit of a step back. That's right. Episode 103 of Loki called Lamentous. Well, if I had an argument to make, I would not say that love is a dagger. No, love is knowing and accepting fault. Like we have to do for this episode. Lamentous really wants to resonate with the viewer. With everything that it tries to do with either the action or the metaphors or the what apparently is the love story that's coming. And they clearly want to set up a redemption arc for Loki. But again, I would say that this episode falls just short. I mean, for all the hoopla over Loki, the series, and all of the wonder of over like how great of a show it is so far, even from critics or essayists like me, episode 3 does take an odd step back to focus on Loki and Lady Loki, like as we have said before, it's apparently called Sylvie, which, by the way, I think is a reference to Enchantress from the comics. But we'll get into that later. It's just a dynamic that I find oddly appealing and kind of disturbing at the same time. Here's what this episode boils down to. Lady Loki wants to kill the timekeepers, and I'm game for that, by the way. She goes back to the TVA after she has created all the panic with all of the Nexus events that she created throughout the Sacred Timeline, and her plan is thrown asunder because Loki, the character, our Loki, follows her back to the TVA. They both fight. Loki gets his daggers. They're cornered. She takes a timey-wimey tempad thing, opens a door, and Loki sends them to Lamentis One for some reason. They get on Lamentis One, continue to fight. They try to escape. There's a terrific long take during their hunt to get to the Ark, but it explodes before they can get on board, right before their eyes. And then they get on a train. Loki gets full. He sings some kind of Nordic song, and they get thrown off the train, and they watch a moon come colliding with Lamentis, or the planet come colliding with Lamentis One, and they contemplate their lives. That's it. That's what happens in this episode. In other words, long story short, stuff happens. Stuff. And if you remember the analysis of the finale of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, that too. Stuff. Stuff just happened in the finale. And stuff happens in this episode. And being the middle episode of a 6-episode series, one would assume that there is a big, enormous event that changes the trajectory of our story going forward, right? I mean, that is the basic premise for a midpoint of any story, and it's usually how all of these shows are written. But as Loki has been wont to prove so far, it is not a normal story. I mean, I suppose one could argue that having a front seat to the surrealistic picture of a planet colliding with your moon that you just happen to be on, that would in fact be the life-altering event that could certainly warrant a major shift in a story's narrative. But you know what I say to a show which puts its main character in that kind of danger only halfway through its series? I don't believe you. I'm channeling my inner Ron Burgundy here. I don't believe you. And I just take a cigarette, light it up. In no way on God's great green MCU Earth is Loki ever, ever, ever going to die halfway through his own series. 0.0 chance. But Blake, you ask, what about Sylvie? She was only introduced last episode, and she surely doesn't have the same kind of plot armor that our Loki has, right? She could die at any minute. We should actually care about her. And again, in any normal world, I would probably agree with you. But Loki the series is not a normal show. And Loki the series, I think, is so obviously trying to make Sylvie a love interest for Loki that, it's painful for me to even think otherwise. I mean, considering the level to which the writers forced Loki and Sylvie to get together, and how each of them seem to contain parts of their lives that the others don't, there's just no way that they're going to let Sylvie die this early either. Both of those characters are in quote-unquote danger, but we all know that they're not. So there's no suspense. And that is what this episode really relies on, suspense. Getting on the planet, how do they get off, what happens when they fail, and what happens when the planet collides with Lamentis One. But between the forced charm with Loki getting drunk, full, and singing a longing song about whatever it is, because who cares about what it's really about, we understand the kind of emotion that the show is trying to evoke from the song. There's also the story about Loki's mother teaching him how to magic up some fireworks from his hand. These choices, they reveal a real sense of depth and character that head writer Michael Waldron is trying to instill in us. In fact, I would be inclined to say that we still actually learned more about Loki than Sylvie in this episode, which boggles my mind. You would think that they would take this time, since we already know so much about Loki, to introduce us more, give us more about Sylvie the character so we understand her perspective, so that when we obviously are getting to the love story, we have a greater grasp on Sylvie the character, and eventually we'll understand why these two eventually fall in love. And while Sylvie does play a large role in this episode, we learn that she too is just as isolated as Loki, that she, you know, just kicks butt first and forgets to ask any questions later, and that she is secretly in dire need of connection. So even though we did learn some of these things, we know that from this kind of development that Sylvie is just not going anywhere. That's not to say, however, that Sylvie won't die later on in the series. She'll most likely die as a part of a redemption story for Loki, as we just talked about. But the show needs Loki and Sylvie to stick around for a while to figure out the nonsense that seems to be happening at the TVA. Though, I do have to acknowledge the giant horned elephant in the room. Is Loki hooking up with a variant of himself weird? Is it weird to you? It's kind of weird to me. Like, is it incest? Like, it's like a level of narcissism, the likes of which the world has never seen. I mean, I think of Chidi from The Good Place. Is it even morally ethical? And like Chidi, this makes my stomach hurt. It broke me. But then the episode takes a turn. We get the whole "what is love" debate. And I will cue 1993's number 11 song, "What is Love" by Hathaway. You're welcome for that reference, world. I'm old. Listen, I'm all for a good theoretical debate. And I could watch Tom Hiddleston narrate a sloth pick his favorite leaf to eat. But when the tension is zapped out of the episode because you know there's no danger to the characters, no matter what fancy one-shot director Kate Herron decides to thrust upon us, or how simply just gorgeous the dangerous environment looks. I mean, that purple. Ooh, that purple is sweet, sweet. Sweet nectar from the cinematography gods. I just don't think it's advantageous to add a forced philosophical debate about the nature of love at this time. Whether or not love is the same as hate, as Sylvie believes, or it is a dagger, as Loki seems to suggest, you can tell that Michael Waldron wants this conversation to be capital M meaningful. Look at how thoughtful we are. Be in awe. To me, though, it just comes off as forced. In other words, this conversation has to be important to our main characters because they are clearly on the course of sharing some kind of intimate connection. So the writing team decided we must slow down, stop all the narrative, and emphasize just how important this conversation really is. It's not showing us. The episode is telling us how important this is. And that's when you know you're wading into bad territory. What's also really bad territory is what I call Westworld disease. And let me tell you, this episode suffers from Westworld disease. What I mean by that is this. Westworld, the show on HBO, if you get a chance, go watch it. It's a pretty good show. I really like it. Westworld desperately wants you to know how important, how self-important, and how full of depth it is. Like, it's like the most insecure show ever written. So the writing and the direction, it tries to make you feel like everything that's being said on screen is the most important line that's ever been delivered in the history of television. I do love Westworld, but it is so insecure. It just wants you to know how... It's like that freshman in college that just takes a philosophy course and just wants you to know how smart he or she really is. Because they read Aristotle's Poetics for the first time. Oh, God, Westworld. Anyway, Loki, the series, has not gone full Westworld yet. I will say that. But this debate about love certainly is a close cousin of Westworld, and that sucks. Thor, the movie, may not be the best movie ever made, though I do feel like it gets a lot of flack for no reason. I believe I learned far more about Loki the character in one of the scenes in Thor because of how raw, powerful, and yet subtle it is. I feel like I learned more about this scene I'm about to play than I ever did in the conversation between Loki and Sylvie.
The casket wasn't the only thing you took from Jotunheim that day, was it?
No. In the aftermath of the battle, I went into the temple and I found a baby. Small for a giant's offspring, abandoned, suffering, left to die. Laufey's son.
Laufey's son?
Yes.
Why? You were knee-deep in Jotun blood. Why would you take me?
You were an innocent child.
No. You took me for a purpose. What was it? Tell me!
I thought we could unite our kingdoms one day, bring about an alliance, bring about a permanent peace through you. But those plans no longer matter.
So I am no more than another stolen relic, locked up here until you might have use of me.
Why do you twist my words?
You could have told me what I was from the beginning. Why didn't you?
You're my son. I wanted only to protect you from the truth.
What? Because I'm the monster parents tell their children about at night? No. You know, it all makes sense now why you favored Thor all these years. Because no matter how much you claim to love me,
you could never have a frost giant sitting on the throne of Asgard.
Yes, this scene is great. And again, once again, I played a little bit of a longer cue here. But again, like the last episode, everything that's being said and done in this scene from the movie, the first Thor, is just so important. The scene that is shared between Tom Hiddleston and Anthony Hopkins, also on Westworld, by the way, fun connection, as, of course, Loki and Odin. The tell me from Tom Hiddleston, yes, it is great. Hiddleston always is. But it's that pause. It's the slow recognition of his role in his father's fate and how he desperately calls out for the guards for help that tells me more about his character than anything else. Loki basically trolls his father to death. But he still feels some kind of loyalty and respect for his step-god of a father. It is to this day still one of my favorite scenes in the MCU. That showed me so much more than what I got from Loki and Sylvie in the debate over love and how self-important it was. Though I will not say that everything was bad in this episode. In fact, the best part was the beginning. The purposely misleading and disorienting cold open between Agent C-20 and Sylvie was fantastic. In fact, something kind of tells me that this whole ordeal that Loki and Sylvie find themselves in on Lamentis One is nothing more than an enchantment, which is probably why this whole episode feels like filler, and why romantic musings are happening between our characters, because it is all an enchantment from Sylvie. Even though she says that she tries to do it and she can't do it, I'm telling you, something else is up. Sylvie is just trying to get information from Loki the same way she did from C20. I'm telling you, something's fishy happening here. I'm willing, however, to be completely wrong about that. Nevertheless, the beginning conveys what be the most important factoid Loki the series has offered thus far. Agent C20 had a life before the TVA. And if she had a life before the TVA, not great, Bob. This episode was nowhere near the triumph of the first two episodes, and it is a little frustrating for me, I'm not going to lie. It begins in an interesting fashion, and we have some hijinks in the middle, and it ends because, well, it just comes to the end of its runtime. That's it. They got nowhere to go. They're stuck. I believe, though, that the show has earned enough equity for me to trust where it's going and see where it leads to next episode. Time for Apropos of Nothing for Loki episode 103, Lamentis. First, let me say the Loki hair flip from Tom Hiddleston, that is my glorious purpose. Oh my goodness gracious. Love it. Love the Loki hair flip. Enchantress is actually two different people in the Marvel comics. The first is Amora, who is one of Thor's greatest enemies. The second, though, her name is Sylvie Lushton, who was given the great mystic powers by Loki when he created her as a tool for chaos. And she models herself after the original Enchantress, Amora. Our Sylvie, though, in this show, does not seem to be either character, but rather an amalgam of comic Sylvie, comic Amora, and Lady Loki, and the variant Loki that we're seeing right now. C20's memories are apparently hundreds of years old. Wait, what? How long has she been at the TVA? Is that even relevant? And like, where and when does the TVA take place? Like, where in the time scape is it? And again, is that even relevant? I don't know. Loki drinking and smashing his glass while yelling, "Another!" is a great callback to the hilarious scene from Thor in the diner when he drinks a cup of coffee and smashes the cup when he demands more from the waitress. Oh, it's great. Seriously, go back and watch that movie. Thor, the first Thor, is better than you remember. Loki is confirmed bisexual. This is really great, truly, and I hope it lends to more stories that focus on bisexual characters. Also, I think it's believable that Loki is bisexual. However, what does this choice serve for the character? We learn that he's bisexual for the sake of being bisexual. It doesn't reveal anything about his choices he's made throughout his run in the MCU or enlighten his character in the choices he's made thus far. It's announced he's bisexual simply for the sake of announcing it. Again, I love that this reveals another layer to Loki, the character, and I'm so happy his character is, in fact, bisexual, but I'm just scratching my head about this choice and how it serves the character's story in the past, or what it does in the present, or what will it do for him in the future. If you want a perfect reveal of bisexuality, refer to Joe McMillan in Halt and Catch Fire Season 1. And when that reveal services the plot, but it also reveals the character through the choices that Joe makes to get his way and how he can read his peers to infiltrate their most inner desires. It's an incredible reveal. Go watch. And by the way, if you haven't seen Halt and Catch Fire, do yourself a favor. It's the best show you've never watched. It's seriously in my top five favorite shows of all time. I'm not drunk. I'm simply full. I will keep that in the mental Rolodex for my wife when the next time I come home from my fantasy football draft. No, honey, I'm just full. I'm really full. Did anyone else feel like this episode was like Snowpiercer, the movie, but just with a hell of a lot of purple? No, just me? Okay, fine. Fair enough. Fair enough. And lastly, lamentous obviously derives from the word lament. Lament means to express sorrow or mourning or regret for often often demonstratively. What does Loki regret? And who is he mourning? Is it his old self? Think about that. Food for thought. That is it for this episode, ladies and gents. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode of the MCU Diaries. Let's close this bad boy out, shall we? Of course, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the MCU Diaries and just being here, being a part of Mary and Blake Media, being a part of the Nerd Clan, just watching the MCU in general and enjoying what Kevin Feige has to offer us and the greatness that is Tom Hiddleston. Seriously, Hiddleston is great. I'm thinking that he might be the best actor that the MCU offers now that Robert Downey Jr. is gone. I'm getting there. I'm thinking that it's true. Of course, if you want to listen to all the other podcasts and any other musings that we have here at Mary and Blake Media, just go to maryandblake.com. Check out all the podcasts there. And two, you can check out our free Facebook community, just the Mary and Blake Facebook group. Check that out. As well as the great world-famous site, jointhenerdclan.com, if you want to support a mom and pop podcast company like this. We are not affiliated with any major corporations. We don't have any of these big major sponsors. We're just a regular set of people making podcasts. And if you want to support that and you want to support independent podcasting, go to jointhenerdclan.com. Check out all of the great free stuff that we have there. If you're a member, you can get early access to all of these podcasts. You can get book clubs. You can get premium podcasts, free swag, our knee-jerk reactions to everything we watch. I mean, the perks at Join the Nerd Clan are just endless. They go on and on forever. So go to jointhenerdclan.com. Check that out. And we are more than now halfway through this series. Let's see where it goes. I'm interested to see where this potential love story takes us. It's an odd choice. It kind of freaks me out. It kind of like creeps me out too. Just a little bit. You know, because they go from one relationship, Mobius and Loki. By the way, not seeing Mobius at all this episode. And then they're just transitioning to the importance of Loki and Sylvie. It's an odd transition. And it feels very forced. And again, that's why I think something's happening here. We'll see. I don't know. Again, thank you so much for listening to the MCU Diaries. We'll see you next episode.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.